Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, a short series, only 4 broadcasts, on the subject, the rewards of humility. 4 times in the Scripture, the Lord tells us to be humble and rewards us for being humble. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to have the grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in each of these cases, he uses the formula, if I may use that term, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now the Lord uses this phrase, or this sentence rather, this pronouncement, perhaps I should call it, 3 times himself. Almost in exact wording, not exactly per se, but the wording does not change much from situation to situation. And then Peter, in his first epistle, uses the same words. He echoes the words of the Lord because he was present on these occasions when the Lord spoke the word. And Peter encourages us to be humble. Now, we wish to speak of the humility of salvation, which we will consider today, and then the humility of station, our place in God's order of things. And then the humility of service. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was the perfect servant. He says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And then lastly, the humility of submission. Now, if you like alliteration, you have it here. The humility of salvation, of station, of service, and of submission. And in each case, there is a reward for this humility. Now, you would think that when we consider ourselves that God has saved us from a terrible eternity, you would think that our gratitude would be such that we wouldn't have to be rewarded for humility, to think that Christ would give his life for us. But let's go into the subject, and perhaps we will realize how God places a value on humility to see it in you and me. He wants to see the character of his Son developed in you and me. Let's talk about the humility of salvation. Luke chapter 18, verse 14, beginning at verse 14. Verses 9 to 14. We have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Now, we have considered this years ago on this subject, or on this broadcast, rather, under the subject of the parables of St. Luke. But let's suffer me to put this construction upon it, the reward of humility. All right. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The publican stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. There was a publican standing there in the temple with this Pharisee. And all right, he says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen, please. His estimate of these 2 men. I tell you, this is authoritative. I tell you, the Lord is the speaker, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right, here we have already the reward of humility is justification by God himself. Let's look at these 2 men and benefit by this parable. Now, this Pharisee was a righteous man. I think you would have to respect him. He was a religious man. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was what would be classed today as a sanctified Christian. But he had a good opinion of himself. And that doesn't count. It's not our opinion of ourselves that counts. It's what God thinks of us. Now, and by his own standards, he did all right. He said, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, isn't it striking when people want to stand in good state with God, want to stand in his favor, and they compare themselves, and that is universal, I think, in all matters of comparison. Why is it that we always pick out people that are worse than ourselves? Did you notice what he said? I thank you for what I am. And he uses that word I. Oh, how he uses it. Some have called him an eye specialist. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, even as this publican, that poor publican. Now, the publican was not well received. He was a servant of the Roman government, and he was a collector of taxes. And the Jews didn't like to pay their taxes. So the Romans appointed the Jews over the other Jews to collect their taxes. It's hard for a Jew to best a Jew. And so they stood in ill repute. And they were not received by the Pharisees at all. They looked down upon these people. But now this Pharisee has a high, exalted opinion of himself. And he even talks about his religious accomplishments. All right, let's think of the publican. What was this estimate of himself? He didn't feel worthy to look up in God's direction. He smote upon his breast. The publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, as if to say, Lord, the trouble's in here. I've got a bad heart. I wonder if this publican was a Jew. He may have remembered Jeremiah's words in the prophecy of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? He might have even smote upon his heart for that reason. Lord, my heart's not right. I'm not right with you. And he smote upon his heart as if to say, here's the source of my trouble, a sinful heart. And isn't that true of us? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us. Isaiah tells us in his prophecy, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But let's get on. He owned his sinnership and he pled for mercy. And the Lord authoritatively tells us, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now I want to show you how God justifies you and me. We read in the third chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Romans, that great treatise on the gospel, we read there God's unretouched photograph of man. In the third chapter of Romans, here it is, verse 9. What then, are we better than they, that is, we Jews, are we better than the Gentiles? No, and no wise, for we have before proved, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that just understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now these are Old Testament quotes from the Scriptures. These words were authored by the Spirit of God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Oh, what a photograph of the human family. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, and the Jew counted on the law, he was proud of his keeping the law. Now whatsoever thing the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, keeping the Ten Commandments, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul said, I had not known sin, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. It was the last commandment that got the Apostle Paul, and he knew he was a sinner. And God tells us, the law is not given to make men just before God. The law is given to make them see that they are sinners. Now let's go on. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen to this, if you please. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here is the secret of justification. Here is the reward for our humility when we will own our sinnership. I know we stand high and someone says, is my good works, don't they count for something? Indeed they do. They earn the respect of our countrymen, our friends, our neighbors. But God's standards are different. We must meet his standards. All right. Here we have being justified freely through his grace, through the redemption, by his grace rather, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the crux of the whole matter. We were sinners. We didn't deserve God's grace. But God loved us. And he gave his dear son to die on the cross for our sins. Mystery of mystery, marvel of marvels. And the Lord Jesus died for our sins. And when we accept that death as our own, God, and we don't do it with pride, we do it because we realize we're sinners, God grants us justification on his basis, and he declares it. The Lord declared it in the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Our Father, today we thank you for this wonderful reward for our humility when we realize our need of thy salvation, and we trust the Lord Jesus. Justification in your sight, freedom from the penalty of sin. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.